They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, continuing on today in our Hamm Nye debate series, we have Dr. Terry Mortensen with us, who has been on the program a few times before, and Dr. Mortensen has a PhD in the history of geology and a Masters of Divinity, and it's great to have him with us. Before we do, I want to open up with a verse that I am using in this whole series from Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." And we really do, Dr. Mortensen, have a situation where, as we look around the world, as we see the confirmation in Scripture, and we think about this debate as somebody who is coming in saying, "I'm denying Scripture, I'm denying that these things point to the Word of God," but they really undeniably do, and we really do see a humanity that is without excuse, don't we?
We sure do, and it's almost as if the more education somebody gets, the more puffed up they become and the more resistant they become to the truth.
Mm. So I want to talk about the Bill Nye, Ken Hamm debate. And one of the things that I wanted to ask each of the people coming on to this series to start with is just to give a brief impression. Do you think it was a good debate? And do you think the right things came over?
Yeah, I think it was a good debate. I think it was very civil. I especially appreciated that Ken did not launch any kind of personal attack against Bill. Bill Nye, though, often was saying, you know, Ken Hamm's ideas, Ken Hamm's interpretation, when really it's the whole body of Christ. It's the Orthodox view of the church for most of the last 2,000 years until recently. So it's not Ken's unique view. Mm. But I thought it was... you know, I thought it was good. I thought it was moderated well, and it allowed people to really hear two very different views clearly.
It really did, and we saw that come over very well, and I totally agree. I think the moderator particularly did a very, very good job. Well, we in this series are dealing with some of the things that Bill Nye talked about, that really in the debate there wasn't proper time to be able to deal with the issues, and we just wanted to do some general overviews in these sessions and talk about some of those items that Bill Nye brought up. And one of them that he talked about was how did, you know, the animals spread all over the world, and things like marsupials to Australia and different things like that. So let me just ask you how do we answer, you know, how did the animals spread all over the world?
Well, I think there's a number of explanations. One is people would take them. If Noah built the ark, then his descendants would know how to build boats and would be interested in traveling. Man is just naturally inquisitive, and then when people don't like other people, they go find a new place to live. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of reasons that people would travel and take creatures with them. They could also, if they were building large boats, they could also take some creatures, small creatures, unknowingly, who would scamper on in the night when they were, you know, having a rest before they loaded the boat or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there's that mechanism. There's also creation scientists would argue that there's only been one ice age, and that that ice age was actually caused by the conditions at the end of the flood, and that it lasted, the ice reached its highest or greatest extent geographically 300 to 500 years after the flood. Well, if all of that ocean water is falling as precipitation on the land, it's going to lower sea levels significantly. And you would have land bridges, for example, between Russia and Alaska, between Great Britain and the European continent. And you would have probably not a complete land bridge all the way to Australia, but you would have a lot of bridges and islands appearing that would make short distances for some creatures to swim or actually walk across on dry land. Then you, of course, the birds and the insects are going to go wherever they want to go. That's right. Not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's interesting, in Charles Lyell's book, Principles of Geology, way back in 1832,
mm-hmm.
his second volume, he talks about two other ways that creatures spread around, and he wasn't a creationist. He talked about floating mats of vegetation, that when big storms hit a landmass, they'll sometimes rip up the vegetation, roots and all, and a living ecosystem can be floating on the ocean.
So he, as an evolutionist, still saw a need to be able to make some degree of some answers about animals spreading.
Right, exactly.
Well, it didn't seem to be an issue for Bill Nye. He didn't seem to think that was an issue evolutionists need to deal with.
Yeah, well, I don't know that that particular point was even on Bill's radar.
Right.
But he also talked about floating ice floes, and that polar bears and others can travel quite a distance on floating ice.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a number of factors there. And then some creatures are good at swimming.
Mm.
I just learned recently that kangaroos are really good at swimming. Now, we're not suggesting that they would swim all the way from Africa to Australia or from China to Australia.
Right.
But short distances coupled with some of these other factors can explain.
Sure. I mean, you were mentioning to me if they had have been maybe on a floating mass of, you know, they might have seen land and swum to land or whatever. And I've seen that video with you that you're watching, and it surprised me. I'm an Aussie, and I've not seen how well a kangaroo can swim.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of factors here that would explain how creatures got places. And then why aren't they in other places? Well, they died out in those places, or
right.
for whatever environmental reasons, mm-hmm. Most of them didn't go that way, and a few did. But you know, over the generations, they died out because of climate differences or lack of food supply or whatever.
Right, right. And you know, you don't necessarily have to expect to see fossilized skeletons of them everywhere they were.
Right, right. And you don't have to require that every kind of creature be on every continent.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, that was one of the things that that Bill Nye talked about, but he did talk about another thing, and that is defense systems and animals having issues of carnivorous activity and different things like that. And so we should really talk a little bit about that defense and attack systems. Did God really create animals to, you know, attack other animals?
No, I don't think that's a valid conclusion at all, because in Genesis 1, God says at the end of the sixth day that he created the plants to be the food for man and the animals, the birds, everything that moved on the earth. And so originally the creation was vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
Plant material. Plants are not living creatures according to the Bible. They are in biology class, but not in the Bible's way of classifying. And so plant death is not death. And so the original creatures were plant eaters, and they could have used their sharp claws and sharp teeth for eating, tearing apart plant material.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a number of talks as we're going through, particularly in the dinosaur talks. I noticed that when an Answers in Genesis speaker is doing that, because most people, when they're considering big teeth that that the evolutionary viewpoint is these big sharp teeth have to be used for ripping other animals apart. There are so many different examples of other animals with big sharp teeth that are just vegetarians.
Right, like the panda bear.
Right, yeah. And, you know, it's going into bamboo, obviously, but, you know, there's fruit bats and all sorts of things, isn't there? So.
Yep. You know, I think the other thing is we see that creatures, just because a creature has sharp teeth doesn't mean the only purpose for it is carnivore activity.
Mm.
Because, you know, there are a lot of human beings that are vegetarian, yet their teeth are well designed for a meat diet.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we have other animals that most people would just say this animal is definitely carnivorous, and you'd only ever expect them to see them eating meat. But we've seen some surprising examples there, haven't we?
Yeah, there was a lion that was born in captivity back, I think, in the 50s. And it was just a little baby lion, and it was being mauled by its mother. And two people were there. At the right moment, they reached in the cage and pulled that little lion out. They took it to their farm where they had a lot of different animals, and they nursed it back to health. And they tried to feed that lion meat. It never ate meat. It laid around with the other animals. Its favorite friend in the farm was a sheep, and it just laid with that and played with it. And its whole life, it never ate meat, but it was a healthy lion. So it just preferred vegetable material.
Right.
And then something I learned recently, I was studying about crocodiles a little bit, and found out that recent research has shown that 70% of crocodilians will eat fruit material, vegetable material, willingly, free choice.
Hmm.
So those sharp teeth are useful for other things than just meat.
It really does help us understand something when, you know, God said his creation is very good. That's a great thing to know in relation to that statement.
Yeah, it is, because otherwise we're thinking that God made a world where there was not only carnivorous activity, but natural disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, earthquakes, and it doesn't fit at all the description of the very good creation in Genesis 1.
Well, animals have all sorts of things. We have venom, we have, you know, stingers, and now carnivorous activity. Is there a quick explanation you can give for those things?
Well, I think not too many years ago, geneticists talked about junk DNA, but they don't talk about that anymore. And we're finding out that part of the genome, over 90% in the human genome, that doesn't code for proteins, has other functions, and often it's regulatory, controlling other parts of the DNA, like on-off switches. So
mm-hmm.
I really favor the view that I think is popular among many creationists, that God built all those creatures that we see today that are carnivores with the hardware, sharp teeth, sharp claws, mm-hmm. speed, whatever. But he had some switches turned off in the DNA so that they didn't have the appetite and the desire. And once the fall happened, God flipped some switches. He didn't have to, reconfigure their face.
Right.
He just changed their behavior. He could change the digestive juices in the body, all kinds of things, just through the genetics. And there's still a lot more we need to learn about the DNA.
But see, there it is again, by understanding something about DNA and the so-called junk DNA, we can use observational science to come up with models as to, you know, why these things might be here now but weren't there before the fall. And creationists are able to model on the basis of what they see and what they know in the history of the Word of God.
That's right.
Amen. Well, thank you very much for going through some of those things with us today. If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.